Wow. Today's readings are packed with enough miracles to provide a Hollywood scriptwriter plenty of material for a biblical film spectacle that would rival Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. In the first reading, we hear how the prophet Elisha fed 100 people with 20 loaves of bread and still managed to have leftovers. Then the gospel tells how Jesus fed 5,000 with just 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and still had 12 baskets of leftovers. Oh, and then can you top this? Jesus walks on water. What a batch of miracles. Of course, which of us hasn't longed for and prayed for a miracle at one time or another? Perhaps to bolster our weak faith? I don't think we'd adopt the tone of King Herod's song and Jesus Christ Superstar, where he taunts Jesus to show him a thing or two to provoke him to faith. Maybe you remember those lyrics. Prove to me that you're no fool. Walk across my swimming pool. Or prove to me that you're divine. Change my water into wine. That's all you need to do. Then I'll know it's all true. Come on, King of the Jews. But seriously, any of us might long for and pray for a miracle, for something that seems hopeless, a cure for an illness labeled incurable, a world without war, or where hundreds of thousands no longer die of starvation every single day. But as one of our hymns put it, still, your children wander homeless. Still the hungry cry for bread. Still the captives long for freedom. Still in grief we mourn our dead. So where, we might ask, is the feeder of 5,000 when we need him? Where is the one who promised to give us a peace that the world cannot give? We'll come back to that question in a bit, but first let me direct your attention to the second reading for this Sunday from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, a lesson that on the surface certainly doesn't appear to be a miracle story, but that promises, I think, the biggest miracle of all. That portion of Ephesians is a prayer. A prayer that God would come to dwell more and more in our hearts, in our inner being, transforming me, transforming you, and empowering us all to be more and more fully God's people. Why, you may be asking, would it be such a miracle for us to be more fully transformed? To be more fully conformed to Jesus at the very center of our beings. Maybe because outside us, constantly pulling us, are the lures of the world, the ways of the world, the advertising slogans of the world, the political mantras and dog whistles that lead us over here while God is calling us over there. And all the while, inside us, there's an echo of St. Augustine's ancient plea. Change me, O God, but not yet, not now. Because if you're like me, and like the rest of us, it often feels too inconvenient or too hard to shape our will and our way to God's will and Jesus' way. We don't like to be stretched. But then come the words from Ephesians that are frankly so powerful that the rest of today's sermon needs to be a rereading of portions of that text with some brief comments interspersed. Paul begins, "For this reason, I kneel before Abba God, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Paul's prayer is a prayer for transformation, a prayer for every human family, however it's constituted. And that means also this family, the peace family. Paul longs for us to see that if I am to be transformed, I need the strength of this community. And if you are to be transformed, you need the rest of us. It isn't obvious in the English, but in the Greek, every you in this prayer is plural. So you see, we're all in this together by God's design. And then Paul goes on, and I pray that God will strengthen you inwardly with power through the working of the Spirit. You see, it's our inner being, the very core of who we are, that needs to change, to grow in and into God. It's not that the world outside our hearts isn't important, the world of hunger and strife, but our life in the world, lived 24/7, is changed only when we are changed. So Paul prays that we may be strengthened through God's Spirit. Strengthened means being given more strength. It's not that you and I started this day or entered church this morning with no spiritual strength, asking God to bring us from 0 to 60 in 5 seconds. We already have God's strength because it comes from God's Spirit, received at baptism and dwelling already in our inner being. But Paul prays that we might grow in that strength freely given by the Spirit. And the hope is that every day of our lives might incarnate, might make real, might make alive this prayer, which also forms part of a Pentecost hymn you may have sung. Come, Holy Spirit, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured on each believer's mind and heart, your fervent love to them impart. And then Paul's prayer continues, may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love, will be able to grasp fully the breadth, length, height, and depth of Christ's love. To have Christ dwell in our hearts through faith. That's what this whole thing's about. Really, that's all there is or needs to be. At the end of his gospel, John tells us why he wrote about the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on the water and the water into wine, saying, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that believing, you may have life in his name. In John's gospel, the ultimate sign of God's love is Jesus' death on the cross. When I am lifted up, he says, I shall draw all people to myself. And so we pray, lift us, dwell in us, Lord Jesus. And then Paul prays that Christ might indeed dwell in our hearts through faith. He asks that we may be rooted and grounded in Christ, which means being rooted and grounded in love, love for all. And it's precisely here that what might seem to be a prayer for a spiritual miracle instead of a physical one, an inner change instead of an outer one, is shown for what it is, a whole new way of living 24/7, inside and out. But I know you're saying, still the hungry cry for bread and die for lack of bread. So where is the feeder of the 5,000 when we need him? Here he is in our inner being, encouraging us on in love and saying to us, I am still feeding them through you as you share your bread, work for justice, write letters to your senators and congresspeople, and open your hands because Christ has entered your heart. Yet paradoxically, our care, which is Christ's care through us for those on the margin, may cause us to be marginalized or called do-gooders or people too generous for our own good. Not so, because the one we follow experienced and expressed God's love most fully in his moment of greatest weakness on the cross. It's the crucified one whom God vindicated by resurrection. To follow him is to go the way of the cross. So we may not always find those we share our bread with grateful, or those we prod to action appreciative of our suggestions for policy and programs. But that doesn't at all mean give up. Jesus didn't. Jesus still doesn't. Back to the text. Paul makes a final ask on our behalf. I pray that you may experience this love that passes all understanding, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Isn't that the strangest prayer you ever heard? That we may experience and know Christ's love, which surpasses knowledge. How can you or I know something that surpasses knowledge? You can't, I'm guessing. I know I can't. So even this inner miracle prayed for us today, like Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, has basketfuls of blessing left over. Because the fullness of God always has leftovers. It's a mystery, but it's true. And maybe it's in living into this prayer that those holy leftovers will show up in our lives and in the lives of others. Paul's eloquent and mystical prayer is deep and seemingly beyond our understanding. But there's a simple chant that I think can sum up everything that Paul said and I've said today. It's a short hymn from the Iona community that prays, take, oh, take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me. That hymn is in our red hymnal, so I invite you to open them to number 814, 814. I'm asking May to play it through once, and then I'll sing it once, and then I invite you to sing it together three times as our response to Paul's prayer for us and as our own prayer, trusting in God's promise and love.
What I may be. hush, baby.
May this be our prayer, always. May this be for us the bread of love that never runs out, and the bread we share with others who are hungry for love, for community, for hope. And P.S., expect leftovers. Amen.